Hi, good afternoon, folks. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com, the Law Office of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. Today is June 7th, 2012, Thursday. This is a community conference call provided only as a matter of courtesy. By participating in this call, you do not become our clients, nor do we become your lawyers. The call is being recorded. Please keep your identity confidential because the call will be made publicly available. If you do not wish to be recorded, then don't speak up. That said, let me look at the questions that have been posted first, going over the questions one by one. VNMK says, he was in India and he mailed the paperwork for advanced parole renewal. So the AP renewal was filed while he was outside USA. So now the question is, because it was filed while he was outside USA, does he have to refile the I-131? And does he have to refile it with filing fees again, or can he write a letter to USCIS and correct the I-131? Can he withdraw, recall the current petition and refile? Should he wait for a response from RFE? No action needed? Well, I don't think there is any option other than refiling with the new filing fees. As far as your option 5 is concerned, that USCIS will automatically correct this, they will not. As far as I know, you have to be inside USA when you file the application for advanced parole, okay? And it should have no negative impact on your I-485. That doesn't bother me, okay? So refiling the I-131 with new filing fees seems to be the right thing to do, Muttu. Next question is Ajax S108. Ajax went to India and has been stuck in the H-1B visa processing, okay? He's been outside USA for more than 1 year, which it will be on October 1st. Okay, at that I decided to file for a new H-1B in 2012 on the basis of being outside USA for more than a year. Okay, here's the problem. When you have been outside USA for more than a year, you can get H-1 for 6 years more, but then you also become subject to the quota. Okay? There's something called remainder rule. Remainder rule. If you do not want to become subject to the quota, then you can take whatever remains of your H-1 time, even though you have been outside USA for more than 1 year. Let me explain to you how. Let's say I had my H-1 in USA for 3 years. Then I left, and now for 1 year I am in India. At this point, I have two choices. I can either accept H-1 for only 2 more years and not be subject to the quota, or be subject to the quota and get 6 years of H-1 again. Okay. In your case, there's an interesting option. Because your labor cert was filed in June 2011 through a company, doesn't matter which company, does the remainder rule apply and let you take H-1 for 1 year? I think it does. You can try. It certainly is worth it. That way, you will not be subject to the quota. But if you don't mind waiting and going through the quota, then you can get all 6 years back. And your last question is USCIS still very particular about end client letters and client documents? And the answer is yes, they are. Okay. Next question is from Imi Raz. He is stuck in India again on H-1 processing, and the question is, I have a B-1, B-2 visa. Can I use that to enter USA to take care of all the little details I have to take care of, my financial affairs, etc., and in USA? And the answer is, it is dicey. It's impossible for me to predict whether at the airport when you land, I mean, there is no doubt that you can use the B-1, B-2 that you have stamped, but would the CBP officers let you in? That is absolutely impossible for me to predict. Okay? What you could do is, and this may not make much sense, but it makes sense from my perspective. I would go back to the consulate and say, listen, you have me stuck here for so long. Can I get a B-1, B-2 visa? Okay. If they tell you, oh, you already have a B-1, B-2, you can tell them I want to go in and take care of my finances. If they give you another B-1, B-2, great. If they tell you, no, no, you already have a B-1, B-2, you can use that. Then entering using that is relatively safer. Because if CBP stops you at the airport, you can tell them, hey, I went back to get a B-1, B-2, and they told me I could use this one. Okay? But the danger here in this approach is this, that if you go back for B-1, B-2 visa stamping, they could cancel that as well and say, no, we don't want you to use this visa. I would rather take that chance than the chance of flying all the way to USA and then being declined entry. Remember, anybody who lands at the airport in USA could be stuck in a situation where they are denied entry, and on top of that, they could be even barred from entering USA for 5 years. Okay? So, therefore, to me, there is no easy answer. My first choice would be not to enter USA at all until the H-1 is adjudicated. Second would be to go back to the consulate and try to get a B-1, B-2, and then take it from there. Okay? Next question is, Sai for GC. I-45 was denied erroneously. Filed appeal, then applied, got a new H-1 approval, and went back to India to get H-1B renewal, I guess this visa. And I came back to USA. So what you have done is, you have gone back and gotten a new H-1 visa stamp, and you have come. And the question is, does the 485 appeal, there is no appeal, there is an MTR, motion to reopen. So the question is, does the MTR denial disturb present H-1B? Well, it shouldn't. But normally, if a 485 is denied, then the labor cert and the I-140 is also gone, unless there are some exceptional circumstances. So any future extensions of H-1, if they were based upon your green card process, would not be available. Other than that, see, I've looked at the law on this issue. I think USCIS could go back and take away, or at least they could try to, an H-1 that they have already given. But they normally don't. So I'm not concerned about you having to give up the H-1 that you already have. I don't think that's going to happen. Okay. Next question is from SWE82. Laid off on H-1 and entered USA on advance parole. Spouse has valid EAD and AP, but was working on H-1. Then got laid off. We went to India. She entered USA with advance parole, and she'll be taking a new job with EAD. My question is, what status is she currently on? This question I've discussed many times before. I will do it again. This is called authorized period of stay. Authorized period of stay is somewhere in between illegal and full status. It is legal for you to stay on authorized period of stay, but you cannot get another status within USA, usually, on authorized period of stay. So, for example, if she's working on EAD and she wants to convert to H-1 within USA, she won't be able to. They'll give her the H-1, but she'll have to go get a visa stamp from outside USA. So her status is authorized period of stay. It's legal to stay. If she has work authorization, legal to work. If she has advance parole, legal to travel. So it's perfectly okay. Question number two, her H1 was valid for another 2.5 years. Can she safely switch back to H1? She can, and she can do it by going and getting a visa stamping outside. Next question is IMI_IMG. AC21 and change of address. I'm planning to file AC21 for similar job. Questions. What are the chances of an AC21 denial? I want you to get a lawyer. Don't do it yourself. I have, in the last several decades of my practice, never seen an AC21 denial so far. Is it possible? Sure, it can happen. I haven't seen one. If AC21 is denied, what will happen to my pending 485? That's gone then. If AC21 is denied, can I move back to the GC sponsoring employer without affecting the green card process? I think that's a very difficult question to answer. I guess you could file a motion to reopen and attach a letter saying I'm going back to the old employer. It should work. Legally, there's nothing in the law that says you cannot do that. Can I give a post office box address for USCIS for address change, as I often change my apartments? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because AR-11 requires a physical address. That's the right thing to do. Another question. Since I have an approved EAD and AP, can I change my job to a similar job and move back to the GC sponsoring company after the GC approval? You can. If yes, how long do I have to work for the GC sponsoring company? There really is no law on that issue. You should go to my blog and read up an entry I have on how soon can I leave after I get my green card. I have a very long discussion on that. So read up on that. It's in my blog. Next question is Vijay_11. I am in Canada as a permanent resident. Employer A in Michigan applied for H1 in 2011 Feb. Petition got approved, but visa was denied. Am I subject to cap and quota? I don't think you are. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think you are. Number two, if employer B's petition is approved, can I start work immediately or should I wait for October? I think you can start work immediately. Number three, I don't have a copy of I-797. I have only the receipt number. Usually, I know that our office has used receipt numbers only in the past. So I think it should work. Vijay_11 also wants to know about the passport. My passport has expired. Can I still apply for H1? Again, I could be wrong about this, but I don't recall having a valid passport being a prerequisite for the H1 application, especially if you are outside USA. But having an H1 visa would require, or applying for an H1 visa would require that you have a passport which is valid for at least 6 months beyond the date of entry. So I think you can apply for the H1B petition at the same time apply for passport renewal. I think that should work. And one more question from Ajax S108, changing status from F1 to H1. Is it possible for a student to go on F1 for master's and then switch to H1B after the first semester if they get a job offer? And the answer is yes, it is possible. How difficult or realistic? It is not difficult. Only thing I'm concerned about in cases like these is that USCIS should not start thinking that you were committing fraud by taking admission in school when you didn't have an intention to finish the degree. However, in my view, it's not really a very big issue. Especially if you had good faith intention of finishing, but you got a job offer, which is, of course, lucrative, and you want to take it. Okay? So I think it's possible. All right. I just finished all the questions I had on my schedule. We should be finished quite quickly today. So if you folks have any questions, new or old, *5. Press *5. Is it 5-star or 5-star? Let me confirm. I think it's 5-star, guys. Press 5-star if you have a question. Okay, one question. Press 5-star. Anybody has a question? Very good. One question. Area code 732. Go ahead, please.
अच्छा राजीव जी, मैं हितेश पटेल बोल रहा हूँ राली नॉर्थ कैरोलिना से. मैं यहाँ पे आया था H1 पे, उसके बाद मैंने मेरी वाइफ यहाँ H4 पे आई थी और उसके बाद हमने स्टेटस चेंज किया और उसका था F1 और मेरा F2 था. 2011 में मेरी वाइफ वहाँ पे गई मेरे लड़के को लेने के लिए, लेकिन लड़के का वहाँ पे एक्सीडेंट हो चुका था तो वो वापस आ नहीं पाई, तो मैं आउट ऑफ स्टेटस हो गया था. लेकिन मैंने वो अपने एप्लीकेशन की थी F1 के लिए, तो मैं रीइंस्टेट मतलब मेरा F1 हो गया.
अच्छा.
और अभी क्या है कि 1.5 साल हो गया, राइट, और मेरा वो ट्रैवलिंग का भी इश्यू था, दैट हैज बीन ओवर, मुझे कुछ प्रॉब्लम नहीं आया, एवरीथिंग इज गुड राइट नाउ. तो अभी मैं सोच रहा हूँ कि मेरी वाइफ वहां पे है, मेरा सन वहां पे है और मेरी डॉटर यहाँ पे बॉर्न हुई थी, अभी 2 साल की हो गई वहां पे, तो अभी किस तरह उनको मैं यहाँ पे बुलाऊं, व्हाट आर द चांसेस?
आई थिंक ऑन F1 दिस इज गोइंग टू बी डिफिकल्ट मिस्टर पटेल. यू आर ऑन F1, ब्रिंगिंग देम हियर ऑन F2 वुड बी क्वाइट डिफिकल्ट इन माय व्यू गिवन द केस हिस्ट्री. आई थिंक यू आर बेटर ऑफ अप्लाइंग फॉर एन H1 एंड ब्रिंगिंग देम हियर ऑन H4.
I did apply for that and some 2 days later I got denial.
Okay. Well, I think getting an H1, successful H1, and then getting H4 for them seems to be the best way to go. But I must caution you, even getting H4 visa stamping these days is quite difficult because State Department starts questioning all sorts of things, including the H1 holder's employment history. It's difficult to say what is a good way. But out of all the bad ways, H1, H4 is the least bad way.
Okay.
Okay.
तो अभी दूसरा एक प्रॉब्लम ये हो रहा है कि मेरी जो वहाँ पे डॉटर है ना, उसको स्किन के इश्यूज काफी हो रहे हैं, स्किन के कुछ, और मैंने उनके डॉक्टर को कल मैंने मिला उनको, but he told me that I can write a letter to you. You can just show them, so they may can allow you to treat her.
Look. I think it's not going to work. I'll tell you why it's not going to work. Because what you're essentially asking for is a B visa for your wife and your daughter, your children, to come to USA.
Mm-hmm.
But here we have a situation where you are already in USA. Mm-hmm. So when the dad and husband is already in USA, for the wife and the children to get a tourist visa is extremely unlikely.
No, not tourist visa. Like, see, my wife is applying for her F2, and at the same time, my daughter was born here, so her passport is here. It's a genuine situation that this issue is happening.
I still don't think you're going to have any success. Having a skin condition does not make the visa issuance any easier. So, in my view, F2 is not going to work for you. You can try, but I don't think it'll work. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Folks, anybody has any questions? Well, very good then. This was a very short conference. Thank you for being here. Oh, there's one more question. Area code 716, go ahead, please. Area code 716. Hello, can you hear me? Okay. Well, not sure what's going on. Oh, there's another question. Area code. This is strange. Area code 914. Yeah.
Hi, I have a quick question, Mr. Rajiv.
Yes.
My question is, the N-470 application, right, does that have a validity period?
Does N-470 have a validity period? You know, good question. Not sure. Let me double check. Let me walk over to somebody in my office who would know. Bear with me for a moment. I'm just walking.
Sure.
Does N-470 have a validity period? Is it good for a certain period of time? Don't remember? Okay. Hold on. All right. We don't recall, as far as I know, N-470 is good for the entire stay outside USA. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the way it works. Because I don't remember ever in the last many decades doing an N-470 extension. We do I-131 extensions all the time, but I don't recall ever doing an N-470 extension. So I think it's for the entire period of stay.
Okay, and I-131, a validity period is 2 years, right?
2 years, yes. And sometimes they give it for 1 year, especially if you do repeat I-131 approvals. But maximum period allowed and usually is 2 years.
And that can be then renewed when outside USA?
No. You have to be inside USA physically to renew the I-131. And then after a few weeks, they'll schedule you for a biometrics appointment. Okay? So it becomes kind of very time-consuming for a lot of people, almost prohibitively so. What they have to do is they have to come to USA and plan to stay here for a few weeks so that they can file the application and then do the biometrics and then leave. You don't have to wait for the approval. But you do have to get the biometrics done. Some people, what they will do is they come, they apply for the 131, and then they leave. And then they come back for biometrics.
Okay. Okay, and then N-470 can just continue.
And to the best of my knowledge, N-470 is good for the entire stay.
Okay, thank you so much. That answers
my
question.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks.
Area code 914. Sir, what area code were you?
914.
914. Okay, I'm going to put you on mute again. Area code 716. Okay, for some reason we lost track. Area code 201. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Rajiv. I had a quick question for you. What happens? I got my green card like 3 years back in 2009. The employer has now revoked the I-140. So what happens to the green card? What happens to the pretty much
you
the green card?
You already got your green card, right?
Yeah, 3 years back.
Yeah. See, what the employer does after you get your green card doesn't affect you.
So will I be getting like a notice or anything?
The only time you have a problem, I have a case... some employee of a company that was indicted for fraud, INS is trying to revoke their green card 5 or 6 years after they got their green card.
Okay.
So, you know, that's different because they are revoking it for fraud. I don't think they can do that. I think they're going to end up losing if we take it to court. But the point is, if INS revokes it for fraud, you could have a problem. But if the employer revokes it, you have no problem.
Well, no problem. So will I be getting like a letter or any notice in the mail or nothing?
Just make sure your address is updated, AR11.
Okay.
Otherwise, you shouldn't care. Don't worry about it.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Good luck. Okay, I think 732 has a question again. Did you have a question again?
Mr. Rajiv, as I said, I think my HR has denied. Should I go for appeal to their them or apply for a new HR?
I don't know the problem. I am guessing. I don't know what the problem is. Was it the employer-employee relationship issue?
No, that was nothing. Like what happened, like they have a question about my education and my experience.
Right.
And we send it to them like all evidence with the documents and everything, but still they have like they are telling to me like I've completed my graduation in chemistry, and I'm applying for a software job.
So what they're saying is there's a mismatch in the education.
Yeah. And you're right.
Okay. Well, I really first of all. Remember something, I'm making a guess here. I really don't know what the exact problem is, what the exact background is. Your lawyers can best advise you. But generally speaking, an H-1 appeal is not worth the time because an appeal stays pending for so many months, by that time the quota is gone, it doesn't do anything for you. Maybe what you can do is, if you're still maintaining F-1 status, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You can reapply the H-1 under premium processing.
Mm-hmm.
Just reapply the H-1. So if, as soon as you qualify for the job, you should be okay.
No, if the same H with the same H-1B company or the different or the whole new process.
It doesn't matter which company. The problem here is was not the company, as you are telling me. It's your qualification. Just make sure your qualifications are reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, Rajiv.
Yeah, who is this?
Hello. Hi, this is Sai for GC.
Yes, Sai. Are you calling from 716?
No, 636. I pressed it several times this talk, but for some reason my phone number is not showing up there.
Okay, your phone number is showing up as 716 right now. So that's okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I have answered your question. Did you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, yes, because you know that my Freud paper is denied.
I already saw all that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so is it going to affect anything on my present H-1B?
Sir, you haven't heard your my answer is already recorded. Listen to the recording, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, all right. Let's see. Folks, before I hang up, anybody has any questions, press 5-star on your phone. 5-star. Very good. I think, there's one more. Just when I, area code 914, go ahead, please.
Hi, it's just a follow-up question on N470.
Yeah.
I just wanted to check whether your office helps someone file it with the employment affidavit letter, et cetera.
Sure, we do it all the time.
Do you know how much you charge for that?
No idea. I don't keep track of the fees. I can barely keep track of my own finances.
Okay.
You can send me an email, help@immigration.com. I'll have it forwarded to somebody.
Okay.
help@immigration.com. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good luck to you. Bye-bye. Okay. Area code 716 is back again. Can I help you?
Hello, Rodney.
Yeah.
This is Sai for GC, actually. I already hear your answer, but I have a follow-up question, actually.
Sure.
So my 485 is denied on first 140, and I have second 140 also there. So that is going to be intact, right? Even though...
Sai, I don't know what your case history is. Because, you know, I know that we've been talking for a while. Your case history tends to be fairly complicated. I would hate to give you an answer and then be wrong about it. That won't help you. Generally speaking, if a 485 is denied, only the 485, and it is denied for reasons that are not fraud or anything, any such thing, it does not affect the rest of the process. It should not affect even your H-1. Okay? But it's difficult for me to comment authoritatively about what's going to happen to your I-140. If you have another I-140 pending and that has no concern with this 485, you should be fine.
Okay. Because the denial also not because of any fraud thing, because that is, they wrongly ported to my new 140 and they say that the dates are not matching, so we are taking back.
Yeah, but wait, you said you filed an MTR, even the MTR was denied, right?
No, first time NTR was denied, but they sent a letter saying that, okay, we reopened and we are porting your 485 to the new 140.
Okay, yeah, no, I don't see how this should become a problem for your case at all.
Okay, yeah.
Good luck, Sai.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.